You are listening to Go Dock Yourself, your weekly documentary book club. Listen in while we two errands dissect our most recent documentary find. Sometimes weird, sometimes mainstream, but always entertaining. Grab a cup of coffee and let's clatch.
Hi, and welcome to Go Dock Yourself. I'm Erin McCart.
And I'm Erin McCart. We are here with a fucking good documentary. And yes, there's a lot of cussing in this documentary. So we're going to talk about Winnebago Man, guys. This is a 2009 gem. It's an hour and 25 minutes long. It's on Tubi, and I think you can rent it on the Amazon Prime. It's directed by Ben Steinbauer, who also did Chop and Steal, which is one that's on our slated on our docket as well.
Love it. Okay.
And I'm just going to say they open with Dead Kennedys song, Winnebago Warrior. So you know it's going to be a rocking good time.
Super bitchin'.
Mm-hmm.
So this made me really happy because it kind of ties in a few things. Early internets, probably not that early internets, but kind of when it was coming into, I don't know, the early days of YouTube, kind of when we talked about telemarketers, it was sort of the same thing. Like, there was a shift in what people were using the internet for. Probably the Pornhub one too, honestly. But there was a time in the internet that you weren't doing viral videos, and then there's a time on the internet that you were doing viral videos. And I think that's maybe where people would know the Winnebago Man from.
Right. But he started long before that.
Yes.
Right. So this video comes from a 1989 Winnebago commercial. And what it is it's the outtakes of this gentleman, Jack Rebney. I don't think he's alive anymore, but he was the person on screen. He was an employee for Winnebago, and he was trying to describe, the different features, accoutrement, and it was really hot in August, and there were long days, and everyone was frustrated, and he just keeps getting like angrier and angrier, and he's just cussing, and he's getting frustrated with himself. And so when the shoot was done, these people, like, their outtakes of this, and it gets on VHS, which people will see, and then they'll copy it and give it to other people and copy it and give it to other people. They're like Grateful Dead bootlegs at this point. And just everybody has this VHS tape that they watch, which is so interesting to me because I've never heard of something like that with VHS tapes.
No, that was new to me as well. But I understand the draw because this man, they're working and it's an industrial promotion video. Like you said, it's a commercial. But the delivery that he's capable of is amazing. He's got the best voice, and it's all enunciated in such a way. Like, I knew from the way he talked, he was a broadcaster, he was an actor, he was in the theater, like all these things, because of the way that he spoke. However, he can only get like four words out before the next one is fuck or shit or yelling at Tony, the intern, or whatever. And it is so funny because there's no middle ground with him. It's either, complete, togetherness or absolutely off tracks. It's so funny.
It is. It's hilarious. But there's a whole cult following of this video. And so Ben goes and interviews other people on the street, interviews, if you will, but he also interviews some people in the movie industry as well, just kind of asking them, when did you first see this video? What do you think of this video? And most of them are like, I've seen it like 1,000 times. I watch it all the time. Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I watch it and it cheers me up. Or yes. One guy said he used to watch it on first dates. And I thought, that's brilliant. You want to know you have the same sense of humor as someone, right?
Yes. Yes. Like taking somebody to see Eraserhead. If they like it, I'm out. Can't do it.
Yes.
But agreed. This is what a great litmus test to put your date through. Also, his grandma. That was another one. And I was like, oh, shit. That's pretty awesome.
Right? Do you think she was clutching her pearls the whole time? I don't know.
It's just cool. She probably knew him.
Yeah, this guy, Jack, he's kind of like Steve Martin in the fact that I feel like he looked old even when he was like 15, right?
Yes.
Because in this video, and they show other videos of him in earlier days, I'm like, I was talking to John, I'm like, I think he was probably like 45, and because he was 75 in 2009-ish, so, you know, 20 years earlier, 55, and this video that they were showing was about 10 years earlier, I'm like, late 40s, and John's like, do I look like that? No. He's like, would you tell me? I'm like, yeah, I'd pack my bags and leave. Of course I'd tell you.
Yeah, Jack's full of rage, though, so maybe John is slightly better and it's not wearing on his face quite as much.
And hairline. So. Jack's so hair just funny. Left him.
Yeah. So he's kind of coined at this point when the videos start to be seen on YouTube, 2005. Now he's the Winnebago man. He's the RV guy, or he's the angriest man on earth. That's what the monikers that most people would know him. And they are still on YouTube because I was showing people, I was showing my family this morning at breakfast. I was like, have you guys seen this? And of course, I think they were less impressed because stuff like this is probably more common, but there was a time when, oh, this is completely new and fascinating. So yeah.
Well, and someone in here talks about that. Like commercials are supposed to be just so polished and perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So to see this behind the screen look at how it gets made is just hilarious, right? Because all you ever see is just that perfection.
Also, I brought to mind news bloopers.
Yes, I love news bloopers so much.
Me too. But that's sort of the vibe here. It made a bit of a cultural impact because we see spoofs of it on 30 Rock, and there are other places that it pops up. 30 Rock just happened to be the one that I knew. But it's really funny, the similarity, and I was like, you know that those are the people who are like, I need some inspiration. I'm going to go to YouTube, and they found it. So good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll find lines in different cartoons or shows people will quote. Mm-hmm. These different lines. They also talk about how when you're out in the wild, as it were, you'll just hear these every now and then. You'll hear someone quote a line that you know is from this clip or these clips, plural. And you're like, okay, that's my people right there.
Yeah.
And it's like a small, yeah. Large, small group. I don't know. I had never heard of it. So I feel like if it was that big, then more people would know about it, but enough people know about it that it's a fairly big deal. So I don't know.
Right. This was new to me as well. Even when I read the description of this documentary, it didn't really sink in what I was going to find, but it is a treat. And I think I might have it saved now to watch on days when I'm a little bit annoyed. So.
Right. And in these videos, he doesn't necessarily seem that angry to me as much as he seems frustrated with himself. You know, he gets a line wrong, or he's like, I don't even know what this means. Who wrote this shit? And then he's like, I wrote this shit and I can't even remember it. So it's entertaining, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure on the day that it happened, it probably was fucking miserable. But for us to watch, it's entertaining.
Well, to me, it's like he's saying the stuff that I want to say, but I'm too polite to say it, especially in a work setting.
Right.
So right. I think that's sweet. Yeah.
Right. We do talk a little bit about when YouTube first started and the viral nature of stuff. So the whole point of this is Ben is addicted to this video to a certain extent and fascinated with Jack and really wants to find out what happened to him. And he can't find him anywhere. So he's curious he's curious how this fame might have treated him and how he might have reacted to it. So in talking about that, they look at a couple cases of early viral fame. One was a kid named Ghislaine, and he was a high school kid. He made a video of himself just playing with like a golf ball retriever, but like it was a lightsaber. And he was just by himself in the high school playing around.
Mm-hmm.
But someone, another student, saw it, got a hold of it, put it online, and it becomes a huge viral sensation. One of the first viral videos out there. It's also the first case of internet bullying, where it became coined a term as internet bullying. And this kid was humiliated. He was bullied incessantly to the point where he checked himself into a psychiatric unit for some time.
Right. I imagine you just can't get away from it. And so, you know, not only was it the original, but people tweaked it and like put little effects in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that level of fame is really hard for us to comprehend. And I say fame, but you're infamous, technically. It's not really a great fame. It's not like people are high-fiving you. It's just people are mocking you. People are humiliating you. It's terrible stuff, especially for a kid. Now, the Star Wars kid is something I'd heard of, but I didn't care enough to go check it out at the time, especially when I knew that people were being shitty about it.
Right.
I'm just not into that, so.
Right. The other one they discuss is the story of Alexei Vayner.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Yale student applying for a job in finance, and he put a link to a video on his resume, which is so funny because it had to be early aughts, right? It was new internet world, and this was something that would have made him unique and stand out. I get it. I do.
Mm-hmm. It's a
very young white male thing to do, in my opinion. Right? Because this video almost is like, in my opinion, like a dating video. Like, I like long walks on a sandy beach. It's not what he said. But it was like him doing the tango with some chick and him doing like karate moves and talking about what it takes to be successful. And it was just a little over the top. And I got to tell you, as someone who's hired a lot of people and seen a lot of resumes, if that was sent to me, I would laugh and I would just push it aside. I would not go further.
You don't want to interview this person just to be like, please explain your thought process and why you included this.
Yeah, there will be a dance portion to this interview process. Please be prepared.
Please. Yeah. It reminded me of the Elle Woods application video in Legally Blonde, except hers was obviously shot by Scorsese, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
But hers was a little cuter, right? But I'm like, that's a movie, and this is in real life. And he comes off as so pretentious and clueless,
mm-hmm.
as young men do. So
yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, this gets leaked online and it's everywhere. And they did catch up with him later. And he said in the first couple weeks, he would get thousands of emails, people bullying him. People telling him he should kill himself or be deported, or it was all sorts of horrible things. And all I could think of is, what do you need to take up your time a little bit better so that you're not watching a video and then emailing someone horrible things about what kind of person does that? Like, I can watch a video and giggle and then I move on. I'm not invested in this.
I watch videos all the time and don't comment, especially when they don't suit my taste. I just move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what drives people to comment on other people's stuff like this. Like, you feel that powerless in your life?
And it's not even just commenting. It's like emailing and shit. And that seems like that's an extra step even. You took the time to compose an email for that. I just, you guys, stop. That's all I'm going to say. I'm guessing our tens of followers do not do this. And I thank you for that. But
right. The internets are forever, kids.
Mm. Yes.
So there's a cat named Douglas Rushkoff, and he's a media theorist. And I would like to tell you, once again, where were these jobs in my career fair day?
What do you think that actually means? I saw that title. I'm like, that means nothing to me.
I don't know. Do you think it means I live in my mom's basement and I comment on people's videos? But yeah, so he's making a comparison between the humiliation of the subject is really what the aim is here. And he says, it's kind of like the old Roman spectacle of gladiators and stuff. And I'm like, well, I mean, there's death of your pride, perhaps, but the physical part hopefully doesn't get that bad. But yeah, this is not you don't want to be a viral sensation in most cases. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not great.
Right. He's also the person who coined the term viral video. So, and I think now we use it fairly ubiquitously, but I think the term, if you think about how horrible a virus can be and how quickly it can spread, then it is more fitting to these cases where it was harmful to the person in the video, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. I do love the fact that Ben is looking for Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's super sweet. So he's looking for other people who might, A, love this stuff, and B, have some insight onto how you might find Jack. So there's a guy named Charlie Sotelo and Cinco Barnes. They're former hosts of a show called Underground Video Show. Super clever. And while they are among the first to see the tape, to know of the tape, and I don't know how you prove that. I think they're just like, I have the t-shirt. I was there first before you heard of it, obviously. But the cool thing about what they have is there's a bonus 10 minutes. They have a little bit longer footage of Jack's stuff.
Well, I like that when Ben asked them, have you ever tried to find any of these people, like Jack? Like he's, you know, Ben's trying to find Jack. Have you guys ever tried to find any of the people in the videos? And Cinco's like, why would we want to do that? He's like, I don't want the reality of it. I want the entertainment on the screen. Because once you think about these people who may have been seriously injured falling off of, you know, a fence or something, it's funny to watch them fall. But if you have to see the ambulance come and them doing rehab, it's not as funny anymore. So he only wants to see it in that small area, as it were, that small little cage. And I understand that because I think that's how most of us are. You don't want to think of the reality of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, did you ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos? I mean, like, I think everybody did when we were kids.
Yes.
And those were a little more on the funny side. There were some injuries, but they weren't like grievous injuries.
Right.
It wasn't like I would say Tosh.0 is sort of a darker side of that coin, where they were kind of really looking for the, not blood and guts, but like skateboard injuries, for instance, always seemed to make it on that show. And that was just, there was a lot more meanness there. So,
well, and you see it, and I see how some of these people land like all like neck tweaked. And I'm like, did they even survive that? I'm uncomfortable watching stuff like that. That's too far for me. Maybe because I'm a parent and I'm like, what if my kids were doing stupid shit and ended up like that? You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a little too much for me.
Yeah. I have a sweet baby heart, mom or no, but I think, oh, I hope somebody helped those kids or whatever it is. And it's not just kids. It's, I get uncomfortable when I see people falling on the ice. I'm like, oh, I hope they are okay. And by God, you better not hurt an animal, because then I'm coming for you. So yeah,
it's all over. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we talked to Joe Pickett and Nick
Prewer.
Thank you. My notes are too far away. And they have a show, or kind of maybe a theater production, called Found Footage Festival. And they've got some interest in finding the video subjects of some of these viral videos and kind of doing a little Q&A on stage with them. And they also kind of hold Jack in high regard, and they would love to meet him. And he's like their holy grail of people to talk to, because I think he's just not the typical person you might find in some of these situations. So,
and he's one of the first that I think a lot of people stumbled upon when it comes to this kind of underground video. That made it sound like a snuff film, but you know what I mean.
I do.
But, they also say that they assumed he was dead because of all the rage and anger he seemed to have. And they're like, surely he's had a heart attack by now, right? I'm
like, right. So, bit of a dead end, right? They don't really have any great information.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that Ben calls Winnebago, like, the company, the brand. Can you tell me where I might find Jack Rebney? And they really, I think they missed the boat here. They kind of distance themselves. They're like, we don't know anything about it. What? I mean, instead of being like, hey, we're going to, if you find him, let us know. We'd like to do a follow-up, because I think that's the way you connect with the youths. And they just kind of backpedaled. And I was like, oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that really was a missed opportunity on their part. Yeah, but I don't think the user, their target demographic, if you think how much an RV costs, it's essentially buying a house. So maybe they're like, nah, they don't have enough money. We don't care about them.
I don't think so anymore. I think it's probably cheaper to buy an RV. It's really the truck. You know, if you're doing like a fifth wheel or something, you're going to have something to pull it. But maybe they're getting more ground now.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, they definitely wanted no part of it, though. They were like, thanks. No thanks. Which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
He does find some of the crew that shot the video. This was so funny to watch to me. To watch these guys, one, remember, they were like, it was fucking miserable. Like, it was so hot in August in, was it Idaho or Iowa? One of the I states.
Yeah, I think it was Iowa, but I don't quote me on that.
I think it was Iowa too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just miserable. Like 100 degrees, 100% humidity. It's no wind. It's disgusting. 12-hour days. Everyone probably smelled amazing.
Which is probably why the flies came. Jack had a big issue with the flies.
Yeah.
But it is really funny that he found the crew, and that was because there were credits on the longer version of the video. And even the credits are pretty funny. I don't know if they thought no one would read them, much like the new thing that's at least going around my TikTok about signatures that I'm going to use until my boss gets mad at me on my work emails.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sort of the vibe that I got from the credits. They are hysterical.
Yeah. So we talked to, let's see, Mike Welkel, who's the cameraman, Tom Jandrick, who was the gaffer, whatever that is, Nick something, I didn't get his last name, he was the director, Tony.
Oh, you didn't, hold on, sorry, we have to come back to Nick.
Okay.
Danger.
Shut up. How did I miss that?
No, D-A-N-G-E-U-R, Danger. So, yeah, that has to be spoken out loud.
That's hilarious. I think when I pause it sometimes to write down a name, it like pauses right over part of the name. And I'm like, I'm not going to wait for it. I'm just going to move on.
Impatient. Sometimes you get a little nugget. And that was that moment for me.
Oh, I missed it. What Nick did say was that Jack was a jerk all the time. He's like, I think when he was on the camera, he was a little more watered down than off the camera. I'm like, oh, okay. I can't imagine what that was like then.
And he talks about the script, which Jack actually wrote. And he said it's a bit haughty, right? It's a little Shakespearean. And it's like, to have or not to have, such is the question. And it's just really a lot more than you need for this kind of work.
Right. We also meet Tony, who was the unpaid intern, who is like throughout the video, Jack is like, Tony, get me a towel. Tony this, Tony that. Damn it, Tony. That's what you hear the whole time.
Right. And he says he didn't, it seems that he doesn't really hold it against Jack. He was more frustrated rather than angry. That was kind of the read that he had. And they all kind of, now with years and years of distance, they kind of speak of it fondly, right? Like it was a real moment in their careers and stuff.
Right. But unfortunately, what happened is after the taping was completed, instead of editing it and sending the finished product to Winnebago, which they do.
Mm-hmm.
They also send this clip of outtakes to Winnebago. Someone does. I don't think anyone quite admits to who it was, do they?
I didn't get that either. But basically the result is Jack gets fired. And almost the way I heard it was, the whole thing was a move to get Jack fired. And I'm like, that seems like a long ways to go. So I don't know how I feel about that. But
right. I could see if you were working with someone and they were abusive for 3-4 days or a week or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you're just nonstop taking this abuse that you're like, listen, your company needs to know how abusive you are. And this is what we're going to do to solve that problem. And I can understand why it was done. Like, watching the video is funny, but if you have to listen to that and deal with that all day for days on end, it could be grating.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Either way, the crew gave some statements to the Winnebago executive. So they were kind of, maybe some evidence was gathered beyond just the video itself. Yeah, so it was made that Jack look bad, and that's, I don't know, like I said, just seems like a ways to go. But I wasn't there, so who's to say?
Right. Either way, it's kind of a dead end for Ben. He gets some good information, but he doesn't get any idea of where Jack might be.
Mm-hmm.
Or where he went, because none of them talked to him after the taping incident. So
mm-hmm.
Jack decides to hire a PI, whose name is Hilton Head. That's not a real name, right?
I didn't catch that one.
It's very alliterative.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does his, it's not a Google search. I'm sure they have PI software, special software, but he does his PI version of Google search and comes up with there's a whole list of PO boxes. So every time Jack moved, he would get a new PO box, but there was no other traceable information, no license renewal, no property, no cars, no voter registration anywhere, which is interesting. You think about that later. But yeah, there's no other information. So he's done a pretty good job of staying off the grid, which is impressive in this day and age, and even that day and age in the early aughts.
Exactly. So Ben's next move is to send a letter to a number of these PO boxes. And Jack actually gives him a phone call. And I can imagine the shock, the excitement of his favorite voice, those dulcet tones coming over your answering machine. I know it's probably your voicemail. And so they kind of start some conversation in that way.
Yeah. And he agrees to let Ben come visit him. And that was surprising, I think, to everyone, since he was kind of off the grid, that he would allow that to happen. So Ben goes to meet Jack. Which he's living on a mountain in Northern California. Rock Creek Lake is a fishing resort, and he's the caretaker of the property. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, literally off the grid is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He lives alone. He seems pretty happy. He said he has his books, his computer, a telephone. That's all he needs. He's very calm.
He has a dog named Buddha.
Yes.
Oh, she's lovely. Love that.
He gives a tour. Yeah. Doesn't quite live up to the idea that Ben had, right? You build a picture mm-hmm. in your head, and this didn't live up to it. It's like, never meet your heroes, guys. This is what happens.
Yeah. He seems to have really mellowed, which is shocking because when he's walking through his trailer or his cabin, there are two coffee makers. So that would imply that he's pretty hyped up all the time. They weren't both on. Maybe there's a backup. And I can understand if you're up there by yourself, you're going to have that. So, but they are able to sit and laugh at the Winnebago footage. He wasn't oblivious to what was going on or what had gone on with that because a friend had let him know about it. So it wasn't like some of the other examples you were talking about. Those seem to impact those folks pretty directly. Mm-hmm. He was somewhat removed. This is Jack I'm talking about. So, but he seems to have taken it okay in stride.
Doesn't seem fazed by it. Doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He's fine.
Yeah.
And then Ben says, thank you for your time, and drives off. And at that point, I'm like, we're a half an hour into an hour and a half movie. I feel like I'm missing something. Right? Did you not have that same thought?
Yeah. I was like, I also thought it was pretty funny that it was almost like Ben was upset about mm-hmm. how Jack was now. And I was like, oh, I thought that was excellent that he was like super chill now. But you don't have to worry about it too long.
Right. Well, my thought was maybe if you remove the stress from someone's life, they calm down a little bit. That's not the case, guys.
Did he hit his little ears on something?
On the arm of the chair. It doesn't seem to bother him.
My God, sorry, guys. Really funny.
Lewis. He's fine.
Mm-mm.
So Jack starts calling Ben fairly regularly. sometimes just a chat. Sometimes he'll send him stuff. Like, it's not a, I want to call it a manifesto. It's not a manifesto. It's a book that he's writing, but he's like sending him stuff. They have this weird relationship. And then Jack says he has a confession. He was putting on an act. That's really not what he's like at all. So yeah,
he does tell him himself, which is always the fucking case. Nobody can keep a secret. We've all learned this. Yeah, he doesn't want the memory of him to stay with this angry, surly guy. He wants to overcome that, as it were. But I think that's pretty funny considering that jousting with the myth, a heretical analysis of God, religion, sex, and politics, is available on Amazon today. So you can get a little bit of that in your life. You know, the low, low price of like $15. So
it sounds like some light reading. So it's fine. Mm-hmm. I wonder if someone did an audiobook. Oh, he has such a good voice. He should do his own audiobook.
For real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't look at that part. I just wanted to see if it was still available. Basically, this is a commentary of failings of modern society, which should shock no one at this point and going forward.
Right. Yeah. He does say he was humiliated and angry when he first found out about the clip. Mm-hmm. He wanted to sue everyone involved, but he didn't know who sent it in or what happened. You know what I mean? It was just that knee-jerk reaction, I think. And then thought if he could be calm when he got back on camera and people saw him again, that maybe he could flip that narrative. And but he just couldn't contain himself. So here we are, meeting the real Jack.
So let's talk a little bit about Jack history. He mm-hmm. was a broadcast journalist. So again, obs that voice. He had some kind of mm-hmm. training. One spot that he worked at, I jotted down, was the Chicago CBS affiliate. He is kind of a news guy of the Walter Cronkite days, like sort of that level of journalism. He left that career on principle because I guess he didn't like how salacious things were becoming or the lack of actual journalism. I mean, it's probably an argument to be made there.
Yeah.
However, there is some footage of Jack reading The Boy Who Laughed at Santa Claus by Ogden Nash. So you can see him in a lovely sweater in front of a tree reading mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
That's the one that I was like, he was probably like 45, 50 there. And John was like, what?
He looks 65.
he looks really old. But it just makes me think of like, who is the diabetes guy?
Wilford Brimley?
Wilford Brimley. Yeah. And he looked like 65 when he was like 30. So yeah, it's just so interesting.
It is. It really buying into that distinguished man gray hair business. I don't know.
Yeah. Ben does go and talk to one of Jack's friends, Keith Gordon. This is someone that Jack talks to daily. Mm-hmm. He is an interesting cat. You have to think about the time this was filmed, and this is like mid-aughts, right? Mm-hmm. And so he has an earpiece that he's talking through, and it just makes me think of those people that are like tap it and be like, "To go for Jack, to go for Keith," you know,
1,000%.
just got out of ATL, and I'm walking down, going to, you know,
yeah. There was really a moment for that, the power of the Bluetooth or whatever. So
yes, yeah. But he seems like a genuinely good person. It's just kind of funny to see that. He kind of talks about how Jack always wants an audience. He wanted to be able to influence people's thoughts, but he also wants to be alone. I thought, well, I think that's a lot of people that we would like to have more impact, but that would take effort and we don't want that. So
right.
Here we are.
I don't know. These two, it's so interesting to me that they found each other because they both have such love for bizarre word choices. There's a lot of thesaurus looking up in the background. You know what I mean? Like, they both sound really intelligent, but it's like they're trying to sound that way.
It's a bit contrived.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes. That is one thing. So when Ben goes back up to meet Jack, and this is now supposed to be the real Jack, that seems almost like an act, like a caricature of what he thinks he's supposed to be because of this video that was put out and because of who he was then. And some of it at times seems legitimate, but some of it seems too much, mm-hmm. little too much, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I actually bought it more when he was being calm because there wasn't anything to be upset about. Now he's upset about everything. And it's like, my dude, what do you do when nobody's around to hear this?
Right. Yeah. And so that's why it seems like even the smallest things, like just, he was just standing on a slight incline. He's like, the fuck you park on this incline, blah, blah, blah. And he's going off. And I'm like, it just seemed too much. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew the character he was supposed to play, and that's what he did.
So I think at one point we might have mentioned that he's in his 70s, right? He's older, or mm-hmm. even 80s, I'm not exactly sure. But he's suffering with glaucoma, and his vision is deteriorating. And so he's out one day into evening, and evidently his vision just completely leaves him all in one fell swoop. Because he ends up getting lost, and it's in the evening, at night, he's unable to find his way back to his cabin, and none of that part of it is funny. He ends up running into, or somebody calls the sheriff, and he's, you know, the sheriffs find him and take him back to his trailer. I'm not sure if they get him some kind of medical intervention, but the report about Jack is public, and some people do find it and kind of bring all this up again, which I don't think really is to Jack's taste, to his favor. He doesn't really love it. So,
right. Because of that, Ben kind of goes back. He wants Jack to be able to be back on camera and talk to people on his terms. Sure. Right. So these other things have happened on other people's terms. He wants Jack to be able to do it on his terms, because it seems like Jack has things to say, things he wants to get across. And they try to do some recordings. Ben really wants to get a camera for Jack so he can have it in his home and, like, every day, every couple days, just record his thoughts or whatever, mm-hmm. send them to Ben, and Ben will upload them. Mm-hmm. But Jack is very much like, no one wants to see that. No one cares. These kids who are on the YouTube aren't going to understand what I'm saying, and I don't understand them. Like, it's so funny that he thinks the language is so far removed from where he was. You know what I mean? Yes, there's some slang and whatnot, but it's pretty much the same language. Mm-hmm. We're all here. But he even admits later that he just assumed this audience was, you know, bumbling buffoons, low IQ, didn't do anything but sit and watch videos all day. Right?
Yeah. And I think that's what you get when you don't interact with anyone ever. It's just the worst, and nobody calls you on your bullshit. So that seems like a natural consequence of being so removed. But he is very vocal about how awful everything is and how awful everybody is. And he doesn't understand why he's popular. I think there's a lot of problems with that part as well. But yeah, he doesn't care for that camera idea whatsoever.
No. They tried to film some videos in front of Walmart. Of course, the manager comes out and is like, hey, you guys, get off my lawn. And they were going to do it in front of Best Buy, and they kind of get in an argument because Ben tries to get him to do the video again, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't go down very well. And Jack is just wholly against it. So they try to film some more the next day, just in the mountains and around in the surrounding area. And again, Ben is kind of pushing Jack to be like, you need to be able to connect with the audience, because all Jack wants to talk about is how horrible Dick Cheney is. And we can all agree that that's true.
Yes.
But you need to get there slowly, right? Mm-hmm. People need to be engaged with you before they give a shit about what you think. And Jack doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to talk about himself. He doesn't think anyone cares about what he has to say about himself. And Ben is like, you need to connect with them. And they kind of part ways, because he's like, if you don't like it, Ben, just leave. And so Ben does.
Yeah. They have a little bit of a breakup. In their bromance. Yeah, that's totally a thing. After a little time away from each other, I think Ben gets the idea, and he's going to come at Jack with a new angle, right? He's got new plans. So they're going to go to the Found Footage Festival. Mm-hmm. Ben has invited Jack to come along. They are actually going to have him speak and kind of have a little Q&A with the audience. And so Jack actually agrees to go, and Keith Gordon comes along because they're besties and it's adorable.
Yeah, it is.
But did you see the part about when Keith brings Jack the wind chimes?
I saw that.
How far does he have to walk? Like, surely that was for the camera, but he like has to walk up half the mountain. There's like, he's walking and there's a lake in the background. He's walking and there's trees in the background. He was walking and there's like dirt bikes in the background. I don't know. It's just a really long way to go. And I'm like, oh, this documentary could be half as long if they cut down this part. It was just really funny.
Trek.
They're lovely wind chimes and they make a really like a nice sound. So I understand if Jack is losing his sight, maybe this might help him if he gets out and about and he can't find his way home. That's a distinct sound. Might help him get back. Mm-hmm. So it's form and like art. So I dug that part of it. But it was a long trek to get those wind chimes to the house.
Correct. And let's point out the fact that they did not make Jack trek that far back to get to the car. The car was there then, right? So the car could have driven up the whole way. As we've seen, all the cars park right next to the house there.
100%. It was just really funny that I was like, oh, this is where we're spending some time. Hey.
Yeah, and those were not small wind chimes. His arm had to be really tired by the time they got there.
They were, like, chest high.
Yeah, I know. So he had to, like, hold it up at an awkward angle. And I would just would have been dragging it behind me the whole way.
And they're, like a wood top, and then the, like, metal things hang down and, like, you know, clank around. And but it was a very pretty sound. I'm like, if you had drug it, it would be full of dirt. It's just craziness. Oh, it was such a funny moment.
It was. But they do go to San Francisco, mm-hmm. which is where the show is being held. And, you know, they walk around San Francisco a bit. They have Keith and Jack have a nice existential conversation with a local cat. And they, you know, have a good time until they have to get to the show. And then, you know, Jack is talking to the people running the theater, and he's like, what are there, like, 8 people here? And they're like, oh no, sir, it's sold out. Like, there are people around the block. They had to turn lines of people away.
Right.
It was crazy how many people had showed up
right
to see him.
Yeah. And people were pumped. They were doing some on the street interviews, and these looked like hepcat youths, lots of fedoras, kind of talking about Jack and his impact on their lives. And they were excited to see him, and it was in a way that was affirming. It wasn't to tear him down. They were all just like, yeah, I thought he was a great guy. I'd like to see how he's doing. So it was really sweet to hear the sentiment that they were going into this with.
Right. And they do show some of the outtakes from the Winnebago commercial. And then they introduce him, and he walks out with Keith because, again, he can't see mm-hmm. anymore. So he has Keith kind of lead him out. And they ask him about the shoot, which he does a little diatribe at the beginning, but then he does talk about how hot it was and how miserable it was. They do ask if Jack hates them because of this viral nature of the video and everyone watching it. And he was like, nope, the only person I immediately hate is Dick Cheney. Very strong sentiments about Dick Cheney.
Yes.
They present him with an honorary fly swatter because, again, there was a whole big thing with all the flies that were on the, it wasn't a set, it was, but when they were recording mm-hmm. the commercial, there were a lot of flies. And they do ask what he meant by accoutrement, because there's this whole bit where he's talking about the accoutrement, and then he's like, what the hell does that even mean? And that's like in the outtakes.
Sure.
And so then there's a discussion about how do you say it, accoutrement or accoutrement or
accoutrement.
I don't know, there were a couple different ways. Yeah.
So thankfully there was a French guy in the audience who made sure that they got accoutrement, like,
mm-hmm.
and so they were all educated after that. But it was really sweet because yeah. they had really good rapport, like Jack and the crowd and the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little awkward to start off, like you mentioned, a little diatribe-y, but he just comes out and his presence is probably just what the crowd was looking for. He's, you know, strong and like the Jack of the, you know, videos shines through. I was like, whoa, like it was a lot from his walk backstage where he was almost wistful when he was listening to the crowd react to the footage, because of course he can hear himself and he can hear people laughing and stuff. So I was really happy that, you know, he was able to hear that and then talk to the crowd. And then they had a little meet and greet, and that was so sweet.
It was very lovely. Mm-hmm. This to me seemed like the most genuine Jack of all the Jacks we've seen. When he was talking to the audience, and you can tell he is comfortable in front of people, maybe not being able to see them might make it easier. I don't know. But, you know, having done, like you said, news and stuff like that, he is very comfortable presenting himself. And then when he was meeting them, he was just genuinely nice and sweet. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sure, he probably cussed in that, but it wasn't anger at all. They're just sentence enhancers at that point.
Sure.
And he took pictures with them, and it was just, that was my favorite part of the whole documentary, is to mm-hmm. watch him interact with the people that love him and let him know that, you know what, when I'm having a really bad day, I put this video in and it just gives me so much joy and happiness.
And right? Directly from somebody in that meet and greet that had been in the crowd. I think Ben mm-hmm. mentions that to him earlier, but it doesn't quite land the same way as having it straight from someone's right. mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And he responds, you know, very positively. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone loved meeting him. And everyone was just very pleased that, one, he's doing well. Mm-hmm. He came off kind of just like they hoped he would. He wasn't like this bitter old man. He seemed like a nice guy, mm-hmm. right? And that kind of made everyone very happy in the end.
Right.
I do like the fact that, you know, Keith had asked him, what did you think about the crowd? And he's like, Keith had said, you had thought they were going to be kind of like low IQ buffoons. And he admits it. He's like, yeah, I didn't think they would be anything. He's like, but they were witty and they were clever and they were lovely. And it's nice to see someone be able to admit that I was wrong because I didn't know. But now that I know more information, mm-hmm. I can make a better judgment. Yeah.
And I think he got why he was so popular. I think that was a real missing piece for him. But he said, mm-hmm. oh, they're laughing with me. It's not at me.
Yes.
And I think right. to witness that camaraderie, because, I mean, again, he's saying the things that I wish I could say. He's braver to just come out with all that unfiltered momentary flash rage. And it's just so freeing to watch somebody do that. So I really liked that he was able to see that.
Right. Yeah, because we've all been there. We've all felt that way. And yeah, and it's just kind of a, oh, thank God someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they take him home, they drop him off, have a few words of wisdom, and they drive away. And that's kind of the end.
So this is an uplifting documentary. I thought it was so sweet. And I loved the fact that they invested in somebody that was older, because we just basically forget about the elderly. Like they don't even exist in this culture. But I really liked that they took time and effort to go find him. And by they, I mean Ben. So mm-hmm. kudos to Ben for, you know, taking the time to go and learn about somebody and not see the worst part of their life, right? Worst, best, I don't know.
Right. And was there to listen for all the ranting mm-hmm. and raving and weirdness that might have come out.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of just sat and listened, which was nice. Mm-hmm. And I like that they showed outtakes from the documentary at the end, just keeping up with the theme, as it were.
Right. I think it would have, again, been a huge missed opportunity if they didn't do that. So I did look up and I found that Jack has passed away mm-hmm. in May of 2023.
He just passed away.
I know, right? He really kept around for a while. I didn't necessarily get why, but the write-up that I saw for him was just absolutely delightful. So, you know, kind of all of the things that we've mentioned definitely captured there. So yeah,
it's good. He would have been like 90 years old. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have an honorary errand for the week?
I do. I picked Keith.
It's a go for Keith.
It's a go for Keith. So they had an interesting relationship. I don't know if we maybe talked about that, but Jack helped Keith out when he was down and out. They didn't really talk about why, that kind of put Keith up and helped him get back on his feet. And there was loyalty there. And I really appreciated, number one, there was some vulnerability between these men. And I think that we need more of that.
Yes.
And so I was really glad to see that.
We need to normalize that more. Mm-hmm. Correct. Unfortunately, it's, and I could very well be wrong, but I see that more in men perpetuating that stereotype that men cannot behave that way, mm-hmm. more so than women perpetuating it. Now, I'm not saying women don't, but it seems to be men saying you cannot be this way, because being vulnerable is being more feminine, and being feminine is the worst thing ever, as we've discussed. So
clearly,
I like that pick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you?
I picked Buddha, the dog, because she was very sweet, but she was a helper, right? So when he was, you know, losing his sight, he's up there alone and he just has Buddha with him, and she helps him. She helps kind of guide him around. She's not a guide dog, but helps go walking with him,
mm-hmm.
and just keeps him company and probably listens to a lot of shit and doesn't talk back, as dogs do. But I loved her, and she was a supporter and a helper, as mm-hmm. we Aarons are.
She's the goodest girl, I will say that.
Yes, a lovely brindle.
And when he got back, she just jumped right in the van, and he was just, you know, smooshy on her, and it was so cute. And I'm like, yes, dogs bring people together. Dogs bring joy. I loved it.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was okay. A good pick. What are we going to do next week?
So next week, we're going to hop back on a shorter documentary, but I think it's still going to be pretty impactful. The ABCs of Book Banning. This is a 27-minute long documentary, so everybody got time to watch this. Mm-hmm. 2023 release. It's available on Amazon Prime, and it's also on YouTube for free, I think. So this is one that maybe is a little social commentary, because it's from the perspective of children that are not able to read some books with some complex adult ideas, and, you know, what that is ultimately going to cost them and all of us, from what I have read.
Yeah, it is a timely topic considering.
So. Yes. It seems like there are a lot of articles, a lot of buzz about this. I haven't necessarily heard it from typically the people that bring us documentaries, but I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I think we all know the impact, but we're looking down because we didn't have these issues. At least in my case, I didn't have these issues growing up. So mm-hmm. being able to see the impact from the people it's directly impacting is beneficial, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, because I think we forget that kids grow up to be adults.
Right.
We want to shield our children from pain or, you know, being uncomfortable, but they got to get some of that, or they're not going to be very functional adults. So it's okay to let your kids experience some shit, especially, you know, if it's in a book. I mean, like, think about if you weren't able to read To Kill a Mockingbird or Catcher in the Rye, or those are probably like even old school ones. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have done without Flowers in the Attic, but yeah. Pull that one.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, there are, I mean, we can talk about it next week, but, you know, even children's books, like little kids' books, mm-hmm. are on some of these lists, which is outrageous to me. So,
yep. All right, guys, watch it and then come listen to us talk about it, and we'll discuss it together.
Sounds great. Laters.
Bye.